on. I have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth a trumpet that shall never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet, for God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
On this fourth verse, we will sing the verse a cappella, and the piano will join us again on the chorus.
In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. And he died to make man holy, let us live to make man free, while God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Mr. Johnson, would you pray for us? Amen. You may be seated for our next song. Our next song is number 594. A Glorious Church. Number 594.
Do you hear them coming, brother, thronging all the steeps of light, clad in glorious shining garments, blood-washed garments pure and white? 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Do you hear the stirring anthems filling all the earth and sky? 'Tis a grand victorious army, lift its banner up on high. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb.
On the last.
Never fear the clouds of sorrow, never fear the storms of sin. We will triumph on the morrow, even now our joys begin. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Our final song is number 599. Number 599, America the Beautiful.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above a fruited plain. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for pilgrim feet who stirred in passion stress. A thoroughfare for freedom, across the wilderness. America, America, thy God, thine every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. All beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country love and mercy more than life. America, America, thy God, thy gold refine. Success be nobleness and every gain divine.
On the last,
oh, beautiful for patriotry that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities blind in my human tears. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Since thou hast died to give thyself for me, no sacrifice could be too great for me to make for thee. Lord, send me anywhere, to thy heart. Lord Jesus, my King, I consecrate my life, Lord, to thee. I only have one life, and that will soon be past. I want my life to count for Christ
What's done for him will last. I follow thee, my Lord, and glory in the cross. I gladly leave the world behind and count all gain as loss. Lord, send me anywhere. Only go with me. Lay any burden on me. Only sustain me. To thy heart, Lord Jesus, my King, I consecrate my life, Lord, to thee.
Amen. Well, it's been a tremendous blessing to have the Millers with us and just a fellowship with him. Always interesting to hear what God's laying upon his heart, and I'm looking forward to him opening God's word to us. I'm going to have a question. Do you want us to start with the video right off the bat, or do you want to have something to say? Okay, I can do that. Something's not right. Let's try that again.
But not quite remember where God has led us. For some, well, this may be the first time you're really hearing about our story. You see, the last 4 years have been a season of testing, of learning, and trusting the Lord. And now, we believe God is calling us not backwards, but forwards, deeper into the work he's placed before us, right here, certainly. You see, 8 years ago, our lives looked very different than they do now. We owned a renovation company, and we poured our time and energy into restoring homes, helping homeowners with a multitude of repairs, or making their design visions come to life. Soon after that, we finished the missions program there at Heartland Baptist Bible College and went on to begin interning with Pastor Bishop at Lighthouse Baptist Church there in Edmond, Oklahoma. During that season, I learned a lot about ministry with Pastor Bishop, and I continued doing construction projects to support our family. And then, like it did for so many people, COVID-19 shut down the country. In the middle of all that uncertainty, God made something very clear to us. He was calling us to step away from renovating homes and fulfilling the dreams of man, and instead to begin renovating the lives of others and taking part of his dream through the Great Commission. So we moved forward in faith. We finished the last projects that we had, well, we committed to anyways, and began our deputation journey, traveling to hundreds of churches across the U.S. to share our burden and the need for help to take the gospel to Sweden. Just after 18 months, God miraculously gave us the needed support to take and head across the sea. We first spent a short time interning in Croatia with Brother Leslie, and then continued on to Serbia, what would soon become our very first new home. That was the beginning of a brand new chapter for our family. So life in Serbia, it began very simply. We rented a small apartment on the east side here of Novi Sad, the second largest city here in Serbia. And not long after settling in, we began meeting with a few believers right there in our own house. As that small group began to grow, those meetings moved from our apartments to basically a hotel conference center, a room, and eventually to our first rented building space here in town. There was no sudden burst of new members. However, slowly and steadily, many foreigners began visiting us, finding hope in a church that taught the Bible in English. So during that time, Brother Leslie, who along with his team in Croatia, began assembling the Bible for the Croatian people. after that, they gave us permission to take that Croatian Bible project and convert that into the Serbian language because of the close linguistic relationship between the two languages. So right now, I want to say that we are so thankful to share that that Serbian Bible project has now reached a major milestone. The Bible has been completed for its first ever printing. After years of careful work, review, and collaboration, we are thankful to see God's Word ready to be placed into the hands across Serbia. Alongside this work, ministry life has meant a lot of time outside the church walls, meeting people in coffee shops, parks, and various public spaces. Conversations have turned into ongoing dialogues and relationships. All this continues to grow to this day. A couple have been born again, and several baptized right here. A large group of us, about 30 to 40, gather on Sundays. However, finding a consistent meeting space has been one of our ongoing challenges. Because of various circumstances, we've had to relocate at least twice every year. Even so, God has continued to bring people together, and the church has remained steady. So because Serbia has a very restrictive type of religious environment, we have recognized early on the need to make the message of the Bible more publicly visible. And so to do that, we established a Christian organization right here in Serbia. This organization is actually recognized by the Serbian government, and through this organization, we've been able to print several books, hold public Bible conferences, and place public advertisements on government television and radio, reaching hundreds of thousands of people across this country. But all this work has culminated in the full recognition of what now is the first independent Baptist church here in Serbia, known as Balkan Baptist Church. And we've had the privilege of seeing several people bow and confess Jesus Christ as Lord and follow him in believers' baptism. All praise to the glory of the Lord. However, this season is not about the past, it's about the future. The last 4 years have been a time of trusting and testing the waters around here, learning the ways. God has used that season to prepare us, and now our desire is to return and continue to labor and stay steadfast in his word. But there are three major areas shaping this next season of ministry. The first is, honestly, housing and the church meeting space. This has been an ongoing problem and a battle. There is real fear here of anything outside the religious norm of orthodoxy. And as we're Baptists, we are often viewed as dangerous or suspicious. Many times we are in the process of renting a home or a meeting space like this, and the opportunity suddenly dissolves and disappears. Real estate agencies have openly told us it's, well, because that we're Baptists. But alongside all of that, there's corruption. There's financial pressure and rental scams. Well, it makes life a little bit difficult to be consistent. This instability takes a toll, not just on us and our family, but on the church here as well. But the needs are far greater than just buildings. We are praying for people, for couples or families. We are asking God to send other laborers to help us in the work. The harvest here has been, well, unexpected, I would say, and we serve a very diverse group of believers who are growing and desire much more than just weekly services. However, we are just one family and desire to see more laborers join us here in the mission field, as well as join us in the efforts to reach those who remain lost. There is a growing desire for more activities, more events, outreach coordination, discipleship, and material translation, with up to 50 people attending weekly in church and multiple languages represented here. There is an abundance of opportunity. Family camps, teen outings, children events, intentional discipleship moments, Bible campaigns are just a few of the opportunities that we can use help with. Nevertheless, we are thankful for all the opportunities that God has given us. Space for now, the things that we get to enjoy, it's been a blessing, but we're still asking the Lord, what is next? So at the foundation of all of this, we have one simple, necessary need: help. As this short furlough video comes to an end, our prayer is that God would allow us to return to Serbia, not alone, but with others who feel called to help build something great and lasting here in Serbia. Build something for the Lord in a land that is not your own. So thank you for taking a few minutes to hear what God has been doing with our family. So we are deeply grateful for those who have prayed, supported, and walked with us along this way. We look forward to what God is doing and will continue to do right here.
Pastor, thank you, church, for allowing us to be here and give our heart and get to see you once again. Last time we seen you, we were on TV somehow. You did that. And we were actually, that day, we had a baptism. And we'd baptized a lady who used to be from Brazil who had gotten saved in our church. And she'd come from a Seventh-day Adventist background and realized that she did not have true salvation. And so we had some baptisms that day. And I think it was Patricia Salama, actually, that day. We rented a Airbnb, and we had a pool there because it's very difficult to have baptisms. In the U.S., what I've seen some church planners do is they go to a hotel, and they say, hey, we'd like to use your pool to have a baptism, and they do. But you don't do that in Serbia. So it's very difficult to find a place where you can baptize, and so sometimes we'll rent a Airbnb or something, and we can't bring a lot of people, so we have a very small baptismal service if it's in the wintertime. Spring and summer, we can maybe go to the river, and the river is very polluted, and sometimes people are very fearful of being in a polluted river, but I tell them that we prayed over it, and all the bad chemicals are gone. No, Lord can. I just don't think He will. But when we tell them, hey, there's not much options to do. So that's some of the things we've been doing. I'm going to be in the first part here. Matthew chapter 6 is where we're going to start at. Matthew chapter 6. As I was praying about what to bring today, I had a couple different titles that I just couldn't settle on. So I was going to just give them all to you, okay? I was thinking of, here's a possible one. Ready? Blessings or a calling? Next one I thought of could be something like, the bullet that changed my destiny. Sounds kind of cool, yeah? All right, I got a couple people out there. Next one was the shot heard round the world. Okay, not as much. All right. Here's the last one I thought of. Fences, freedom, raccoons, and trash. All right, we'll go with that one. You like that one. Okay, we're going to go with fences, freedom, raccoons, and trash. That's the title of today's message. And so, actually, we're going to talk about that later. But probably nobody in here knows that I actually, when I was a young man, I enlisted into the military. Now, what I mean by enlisted is I called up the recruiters and said, I'm in. Come pick me up. All right? And so they drove from Chillicothe all the way over there, and they met my parents at my house, and they talked to me, and I told them what I wanted to do. I was looking at going into, I loved shooting. I loved long-range stuff. I had a $2,500 scope, a Night Force scope, you know, and I just loved shooting. And so I was going to go into the Army Scout Snipers, right? That was my vision of what I was going to do. So they came, they talked to me, interviewed me, and at the end of that interview, they looked at me and they said, "We're sorry, son, we can't use you." Declined. Okay, well, the backstory on why they couldn't use me is, you know, to think about it, if God would have allowed me to go into that, the next part of this story would have probably not come true, maybe for a while. You see, because God refused my prayer on that is what I wanted to do, what I thought I wanted God to do in my life, that put me into a spot in my life where it drove me to the Bible and said, God, what are you doing? Amen. What do you want with me? Right? That was the direction that God sent me into. I began to read more in my Bible, and next thing you know, God begins to reveal some of these things here that I'm going to bring out to you. But it was because of the shot that was heard around the world. Now, what shot was that? No, it's not the shot you're thinking of. It was the shot that happened when I was 17 years old. And I went to a friend of mine's house, and we was going to go deer hunting the next day. And he was playing around with the gun, and he thought it was unloaded. He took that gun, he pointed it right at my stomach, and he tried to scare me with it, and he pulled that trigger. And that bullet went off, and it went right in my stomach right here, and it wiggled around inside there and came out my back, actually wedged in the back of my skin there by my spine. And it was at that point that basically my friend's dad put me in his car and drove me 30 minutes, and the hospital, the ambulance met us halfway. And through that, the ambulance took me to the hospital, and we called it the Band-Aid Station. It's a small community hospital. And they said, we ain't got nothing for this, you know. So they called in a helicopter from, I think it was Kirksville or Kansas City. And it came, picked me up, and then took me down to Kansas City to where they took me into the hospital. And next thing you know, I woke up with these tubes coming out of everywhere. And the doctors had cut me open, and they took all of that stuff and sewed everything up and put it back inside. And it was after that, you know, I grew up in church. I told you this morning that I was grew up in a Baptist church. I grew up, my dad was a deacon, my other uncle was a deacon, and we preached and shared a lot of preaching responsibilities because for many cases we didn't have a pastor at many times. And that was my life, but I was a redneck kid that went to public school. I was homeschooled for a little while, but then I went to public school, and so I got into friends, and the world became more attractive to me than the Lord did. So me and my buddies would go out, we'd shoot stuff, we'd tear stuff up, we had mud trucks, right? We lived the redneck dream, okay? That was us, all right? And, you know, you guys sang the anthems of the military services, right? And I don't know if the rednecks actually have a song, but I know they have a phrase. And my redneck friends, their phrase is this: he who dies with the most toys wins. So that was who I grew up with and how we went about our life. And when that shot went off, my life actually got worse. I began to think about all the things I didn't have, all the things I didn't experience. And I wanted to go in the military after that. And that's why the recruiters said, we can't use you. I was a liability instead of a blessing to them. And I always asked God why. Why would he change my, someone might call it destiny. But to God, there is no destiny. It's free will choice that you choose, right? And so I begin reading my Bible over, and all right, Lord, what do you want from me? What do you want with my life? I was single. I didn't know what to do with my life. And I began to read in here. In Matthew chapter 6, he says in here, Matthew 6, 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just be with us this evening. As we prepare for the events of this evening, Lord, just remind us of our purpose on this earth. Lord, help us to glorify you this evening, and we'll lift you up. And we thank you for your blessings of this country and the time you've given us together. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, The military was, for my life, was stopped because of a single bullet. But because of that bullet, it drove me to the Bible. And because of that Bible, God drove me to His service. To His service. So, the recruiters came. My goal, of course, was the Army Scout Snipers. But God says, that's not my plan for you. Hearing those recruiters say to me, sorry, son, began to make me question God's purpose in my life. I began to read the Bible. Like things like this, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. But it continues. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, this text, not only God used this to help peel away the world from my life. I mean, I had so many joys in this world. I had a whole collection of guns. And there's nothing wrong with guns. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, now the men. Because all the women said amen. No. Probably half of you gals got pistols in your purses, okay? I know how you are. But I told Lord, if you want me to serve you, you're going to have to dull the shine off my world. Dull the shine off my world. I got to interview a pastor here a couple days ago. And in Europe, there's such a lack of men in churches that are willing to stand and to teach or preach in the churches. And sometimes it's becoming more and more in our American churches, a lack of men willing to lead and do. And I wonder sometimes, we've built such a kingdom of our own. You know, you think about a European man who's went to college or university and he has this degree. And for him now to go pastor or to lead a church, he's got to climb down that ladder of education in his mind to do something here, right? But you think about what's going to last. What's going to last for eternity? Where I was wanting to join the physical army, God was enlisting me in the eternal army.
Yeah.
The army that will never end. And I love, as much as I love America, and that's what this 250 years of celebration is about, everybody knows that we can't take this with us, can we?
Right.
We'd love to, but I don't know if America's colors, or U.S., heaven's colors will be red, white, and blue. We can love it, we can cherish it, but what's God's purpose for us? And so it says here, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God used this text not only in calling us to Serbia, but in how we were called to Serbia. For example, all these things that I've accumulated, we did construction. I had all sorts of DeWalt to Milwaukee tools and all these things, and we had a camper, we had a big old diesel pickup truck, a Cummins pickup truck. And if I would have kept those things here, I'm so worldly, I'm so carnal, I'm such a sinner, that when I'm over there and I'm struggling, guess where my mind is? You just quit. You can pick up right where you left off. I said, Lord, I can't do that.
Man.
I can't do two things at once. Ask my wife. It's okay. And for me to go to Serbia, we had an auction and we sold off everything that we had because I know if I'm there and we're having bad days, I'm going to want to be here. And it's amazing how many missionaries quit. And they quit based upon sometimes you look at it and how God calls you many times is how God keeps you there. I've heard different missionary stories about how they're called to a mission field, and they are reading something on a bag of rice, and they say, oh, made in China. And so they feel called to go to China. But be careful, because the same thing that happens when you go to China because of a vision or a calling like that, the same thing happens in reverse. Something you see made in America, that emotion, that feeling comes over you and say, well, maybe God's called me to go back. But other men, I've heard being called to the ministry, being called to missions. They said, Lord, I'm going until you tell me to stop. And it's not based on a vision or some kind of circumstance like that. And I'm telling you, they have lasted. And some of my heroes over there in Slovenia and other places. So I got to understand by reading the Bible that if I do go, I cannot have a divided heart. Where my treasures are, where my heart will, there will my heart be also. Okay? So reading these things, this bullet pushed me to the Bible. And when I'm starting to read the Bible, I'm seeing more and more that God is real. He has a love for people. He died to set all men free, not just Americans, but all men free. And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. For God so loved America. No, for God so loved the world. Sometimes I begin to think, why did God allow America to be so free and so able to do the things that she does? Because God's got a purpose for her. He still has a purpose for her. And I could go back in time and take you to my dad's house and talking about the fences, the freedom, the coons, and the trash. I got to live on my dad's farm. We did construction. We did farming. We had red tractors. No grain tractors, just red tractors. Okay? And my dad, we had a lot of this grass, and I have asthma. Okay? Everybody say, aw. Thank you. I have asthma, and I don't like the dust of the combines, and I don't like the dust of mowing grass. But guess who mowed the grass? This guy. So I came up with a scheme. I want horses. Because horses eat grass. So to get those horses, guess what I had to do? I had to build a fence. So I get horses. I start to ride these horses. Oh, I have this privilege of having horses, but it's not my property, is it? No, my dad has given me permission to build the fence on his property to have my horses, right? And then I get chickens, and I have these eggs, and now the coons come to take the eggs, right? This is all the stuff that I enjoy to do, I like to do. And I target practice. All my blessings, can I say just my blessings, right? But there are some things that my dad has asked me to do. Like there's things my dad says, son, these are your duties. These are your jobs, right? I could enjoy my blessings, but I ought not shirk my responsibilities. You see the difference? I get to have the blessings of horses, of the guns, of all the property that my dad's. I could go hunting. We had acres that we rented. I could go hunting anywhere that I wanted to. I was blessed. But my dad had some things he wanted me to do. One of them was simply to mow the yard and simply maybe take out the trash. You see? Now, why would my dad continue to allow me to have these blessings if I wasn't doing the due diligence of my duties? That you get where I'm going with this? I have the blessings that's not mine. This God could take this land away from us, or he could give it to us. Right? Just like Israel. He could give it, he could take it. Our lives, he could give. The health we have, he could give, or he could take it. Everything that we have is a blessing. Yeah. Just life. You talk about the sickness. I met one guy last week who had a double lung transplant. Crazy. Double lung transplant. That's a blessing. The blessings that God give us. But in the same thing, God's asked us to do things. I've got a couple texts I want to read to you here. The one is how God brought me into reconsidering my purpose. To not lay up my treasures here on earth. Yeah, I can have nice things. But where my heart is, is where my treasures are. Where does God want our heart? You know, and then I began to think about this. I began to think, what treasures can I take with me to heaven? I can't take my guns, can I? Can't take my pickup truck. I can't take my bow and arrow, my fishing gear. But you know what I can take? those relationships. That's when I started doing the prison ministry. I started going to college campuses because I realized that that's the stuff that I can take with me to heaven. Those things. And so through this process in my life, I began to see things like Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. And then I get towards the end of Matthew chapter, the book of Matthew, what do you get to? You get Matthew chapter 28. Right? Matthew chapter 28, you find in here, you find the Great Commission. And he goes through the disciples, and he gets here, and he talks to the 11 disciples that went away into Galilee, into a mountain, in verse 16, where Jesus had told them to go, appointed them to be. And when they saw them, they worshipped, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying what? All power. We find this also in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You're given power to do something. Amen. To accomplish something. All power is given unto you. It says here, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You could say this, teach them about salvation. When they get saved, baptize them. And then after that, teach them some more, you know, lifelong of teaching. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So, that's, you could say that my dad, Tim, he'd asked me to do some things. In the process of me doing those things, I can enjoy some blessings. But what happens when my blessings get to be such big blessings that I forget to do the things that he's asked me to do? We got a problem. And then why would my dad continue to keep blessing me if I'm not doing what he's asked me to do? Why am I bringing this message to you today? Because this morning we talked about a little bit of the fall of America and how we could pray and ask God to save her. But you know what else can help? You know what else can help? You know, there's times in the Bible where men would do things to prevent the hand of God. Talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Find me so many men, 10 men, 10 people, righteous, right? Well, if God's purpose for America, and I believe one of the purposes God for America was to help get the gospel around the world, yeah, right? What about treating missions and things that God's called us to do in a way that God says, I want to save America. I want to keep her around. Give him a reason to save it. In other words, with my dad, I do my trash, I do my chores because I want to enjoy these blessings, or is it because I love my father? Going back to that illustration, I'm telling you, I remember growing up in my dad's house. Sometimes people ask me, do you enjoy Serbia? Do you enjoy the mission field? I love America. I love everything about it. I love the hot dog eating competitions. I love the ice cream parties. I love the fireworks, right? I love the colors. I love the guns. I love the fact that I can go to a college campus and I could stand in a designated spot and preach the gospel because my government tells the college campuses you have to let them do that. That's crazy. I can go up to a prison and say, hey, listen, guards or prison, whatever, I want to come in and share the gospel with people. And guess what? You know what? They let me do it because they're funded by the government. And the government says, you got to let them do it. That's freedom. You don't get this in other countries, you know? And I'm so thankful for that. But you ask me, do I enjoy doing what I do? And I'll tell you this. There's a difference between peace and peace. And when you grab that, it's a big one. A difference between peace and peace. Of course, the Bible says that there's his peace and there's the world's peace, right? Now, when I go into this and mowing grass, I don't necessarily enjoy mowing grass. But imagine, go with me in this story here. I'm sitting in the basement of my dad's basement. And one of my tasks is taking out the trash and mowing the yard. He comes down, he says, "Son, I need you to go mow the yard." Not my favorite thing to do. So I keep playing. He comes down a second time. He says, "Son, go mow the grass." I say, "What? Okay, Dad." So I throw the controller down to my video game. I get outside. I take the mower, and I begin pushing and mowing the grass. Not because I love the grass, because he's told me to mow the grass. That's a bad attitude to serve the Lord, okay? I'll just tell you. Don't serve the Lord like that. That's a bad attitude. But that was my attitude. And then I get done mowing the yard. Dad comes home from town, and he pulls in, and he looks at the grass. He puts his arm around me. He pats my back. He says, "Son, thank you." It's at that moment I realize, A week goes by, and Dad comes down. He says, "Son, it's time to mow the grass." I said, "Okay." Put the controller down, get up, and I go out, pull the mower, get it started, push the grass. And I sit down on the front porch and I wait. Here comes the smoke trail from Dad's pickup truck coming down. You know, he comes home, parks the truck, looks at me, and he says, "Son, it's a good job." Pats my back, right? Week goes by. I hear the door start to open to the basement. I shut the video game off, right? And I sneak out the basement. And by the time Dad's leaving, I'm mowing the grass and I'm making those lines, you know, back and forth where they're nice and crispy. Dad comes home, he looks at me, he says, "Son, well done." He pats me on the back. It's never been about the grass.
Amen.
It's been about him. So wherever God sends you, whatever task that God gives you in your life, we can have a bad attitude about it. I don't even know that the disciples, when you look at Matthew 28, if they really enjoyed going into all the world and being persecuted, boiled with oil, you know, persecuted.
Amen.
I don't necessarily think they enjoyed it, but they did it because of him.
Yeah.
You know? So that's one of the popular questions that people ask is, "How do you like it there?" And I usually will say, "Oh, it's not bad." But deep down inside, I love what I have. I love what you have. That you get to raise your kids with other Christian families. That you've got homeschool groups. That you've got barbecue friends and golf friends and frisbee things and all these things that you get to do and love and fishing tournaments and all the things that we get to just love here as Americans. And we don't really have a lot of those, you know, for our kids to grow up without friends. It's a struggle. Just giving you my heart tonight. If it doesn't sound like good preaching, that's okay. I'm just giving you my heart. But I love it. But why do we do what we do? Because of him. And what he's asked us to do. And so when we go to the Bible and we read, and the God began to look at, to reveal these things to my heart, and he says, "Hey, there's two different kinds of peace." Because I never had peace to go to Serbia. Well, let me correct that. I never had the kind of peace I wanted. The ooey gooey peace inside where you're like, "I want to do that. That's great." I never had that. But when I would read my Bible, and he says, "Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord." And he's asking me to be a part of making that happen. Let's go. I've got peace about doing what he's asked us to do. I've got peace about mowing the yard. Not because I like the yard, but because I love the Father.
Yeah.
And you know what? When you mow the yard enough, you kind of get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too bad. And you almost kind of like mowing the yard. I don't know who mows the yard around here, but they do a pretty good job at that, you know? They probably like to mow the yard. I don't know if they do or not. I'm telling you, the bullet that changed my destiny, watching my treasures be laid up in heaven, and looking back at my life and seeing how much of my life I wasted just accumulating things that will have no benefit in the end. That was what my life was filled with. Treasures in heaven. Now, Matthew 28, God has been building an army for centuries. I want to end with a little bit of this. When a missionary goes to the field, I want you to think about a military. You talked about the militaries this morning, the different branches. But when a missionary goes, when a serviceman goes, I don't know what the number is, but they say for every serviceman on the field, how many are doing the computer work, are doing the other type of work, right? I don't know if it's 1 to 20, 1 to 50, or 1 to 200. I don't know the number for that, but it's a lot more that do the dirty work in the homeland versus the one that goes there. Now, why does that matter? Because your presence here is a big thing. And I don't just say that lightly. What I really do mean, we just came from another church in St. Louis where they stopped having evening services. And more churches are stopping Wednesday night services, and they're stopping Sunday night services. And where we're trying to do furlough in four months, and the only thing in the future that might be open is Sundays only. And it hurts the work of God when people don't show up to church, because it's a team effort. We're all in this together. You could think about some go, some send, some pray, some give, some support, some help with supply lines, some train, some encourage, some help carry the gospel to the other side of the world. Yeah. But we're all doing missions together. We're all part of the same team.
Right.
That shot that hit me, because of that shot, the gospel gets to be heard around the world.
Yeah.
The shot that was heard around the world in my personal life. And God used that. And for me, it was so discouraging to think, this is the direction that I want to go in my life. I want to go into the military and do this. But God had different plans for my life. And then lastly, do not confuse blessings with a calling. God did not call me to build fences. My dad did not call me to build fences. My dad did not call me to have a horse. My dad did not call me to get rid of coons. He's allowed me to do these things. But what he's called me to do was to mow the yard and take out the trash. And to think about that with our church. As we celebrate this and the blessings, and I'm so thankful that we get to come back on furlough during this time of year, and we get to have these blessings and celebrate these blessings. But when the smoke falls from the sky and all the fireworks are shot up, just remember next week, try to put back on our boots. Yeah. Say, let's get back to work, to the task that God has truly called us to do. And that's the eternal battle that God has given us. Fences, freedom, coons, and trash. God has called me and called you. Matthew 28, go ye therefore into all the world. America matters. Freedom matters. Blessings do matter. But the mission that God has entrusted us with matters more than all things.
Yeah.
All things. Are we doing the job the Father gave us? Are we laying up treasures in heaven or treasures on earth? Are we using our blessings for His purpose? As I travel around, we've been going to churches for about 2.5 months. And we have some needs that we try to do. But many churches are going through different difficult times. And we've not been able to accomplish the tasks that really we've set out to do. And that's fine. We go back to Serbia, we'll do what we got to do. You guys have to do what you got to do. And then the Lord will bless us in all of our endeavors, you know. But I just would hate to see that as Christians in His work, that we get distracted. And I just can't help to think the amount of missionaries on the field as they retire, they go home. There's such a big lack, but yet pastors. And what breaks my heart, and I even talked to your pastor about it, is that even in our northern Missouri area, by the time we left Missouri to go to Serbia 4 years ago, 4 independent Baptist churches shut their doors and sold the property. Like, you got to be once to shut your doors. It's pretty bad to just sell the property. That's where you're really done, you know? Four churches. And I'm thinking, is God not calling, or are we not standing up? I don't know what's going on, but if we really want to save America, or maybe potentially change it and give God a reason to save it, what are we doing? Yeah. What's our purpose? What's the challenge? Now, I just want to encourage all of us today, as the smoke falls and the fireworks go off and the ice cream's all gone and the belly aches subside, to think, Lord, what would you have me to do? I can't say that I'm thankful for the gunshot, but I'm thankful that God got my attention. Yeah. I don't know where I'd be today if God hadn't done that. If I'd have my wife or whatever, with God's providence, he knows. But I'm telling you, I'm so thankful to be where God's called us to be. And one famous missionary said this, he is no fool, he who gives up that what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose.
Man.
Right? I'm thankful for all of you. Thank you for allowing us to be here. And we look forward to seeing you. We're going to have another furlough in a couple years. And maybe we'll get a chance to come back and say hello. But I just want to give a little bit story about our life, let you get to know us a little bit. And pray for us. If you're ever in the woods of Serbia, come by and see us. If you got questions about missions, about what God's doing, feel free to come back and say hi to us. And we'd love to talk to you more. And thank you for the time, Pastor. We'll let you go.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Matt. The Lord does know how to get our attention, and he knows how to arrest us and to get us focused on eternity. And that, whatever God uses to get our attention, that is his mercy, that is his grace. And may God send us forth more and more. Alrighty, well, we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to give some instructions for the evening. So let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for the blessing that we have had in receiving from your word, that you would feed us, that you are our teacher, you're our leader, and we're so thankful for raising up the Millers and leading them forth and giving them a testimony of your provision, and missions becomes a little bit more tangible, a little bit more accessible. Before someone's eyes, Lord, and I pray if you've arrested someone else's attention, Lord, through this preaching, Lord, you're tugging at our hearts, you're pulling away, you're dulling the shine of our world, so that we can look towards yours, Lord. We praise you for that calling and that moving, and Father, I pray that you would help us to respond and do all of your will, Lord. I pray that you would make it clear, and that we would be diligent, Lord, to seek you and to seek your face. Lord, just thank you for the fellowship that we're going to have this evening and all that have come to participate and to enjoy. And Father, I pray that we would minister to one another and that the Lord Jesus would, in his kingly role, direct us and move us as we move amongst each other, as we speak words to one another. May we minister grace. And Father, I pray that everything that's done here would bring pleasure and glory to your name. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We'll go ahead and give some instructions here. Just for about 15 minutes or so, we're going to be able to start serving the food. But we're going to go ahead and take down